I appreciated the thoughts this morning in our devotional about trusting God. And just pause with me for a minute and just ponder who God is. How big is our God? What would we have if we didn't have God? You know, we say He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's trustworthy. And He's ever-present. What else do we have? And where else would we turn to in these hard times if it wasn't to God? But yet we cry out in times like this and we say, why? You know, God is powerful. He could have kept little Jethro from being run over. Why did He allow this to happen? But yet, where else do we turn? How do we answer that? And as we ponder, the question is, what does God want to tell us? What is God saying to us? Now, I don't want this to be a funeral this morning, but when the lives of our loved ones are touched, and when they're so greatly affected, as what happened there Friday morning, we must stop and support them, and we must stop and analyze life. We must think about life. But it again brings us to that question, why? Now, maybe we find ourselves like Job and we're speechless. We don't know why. What can we say? We're in the presence of God and we know what He could have done and we know what He did. And we say, why? Yet, I believe God wants to talk to us in these hard times and we struggle to understand. And when we don't know why, I believe God has something for us. And the question is, what is that? And I know there's numerous things. But I'm thankful this morning that we can hear from God's word. I'm thankful that I can offer you more than just what I'm going to say this morning. We have God and His word. And we have His spirit. We have His presence. While we may not come up with answers completely, there is the stillness of God's voice that speaks to us. And I would like to this morning just consider the thought, the title, When We Don't Know Why. When we don't know why. You know, when we don't know why, it can be a struggle to feel at peace. When we don't know why, it can cause turmoil in our hearts. And we don't know why, we don't have answers. And this morning, I have no answers. When we don't know why. But I would like to this morning, I would like to do two things for us. When we don't know why, I would like to give you some thoughts to ponder. Just some thoughts to take with you. So when you face situations in your life when you don't know why, and when we struggle with this situation and we don't know why, we can have some thoughts. And I would also like to give you some words to guide you when you don't know why. The main point I want us to think this morning, and what I want to bring out as we consider this, is when you purpose to live God's plan, you find peace. When you purpose, and we're going to focus on that word a little bit, the idea of purpose. When you purpose to live God's plan, you find peace. And it will come out as we go through the next few minutes here that there is many different ways that you can respond to situations like this. And some of them will bring peace and some of them won't. And I want to hold out to us this morning that when we don't know why, When we purpose to live God's plan, you will find peace. And I would like to start this morning in Psalm 121. We'll read this psalm. And the first point I want to make this morning is there is peace in knowing God is in control. There is peace in knowing God is in control. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, if you are like me, when you read this psalm and you think about what happened Friday morning, it's like, why? Is this really truthful? Our minds are, our eyes are drawn to verse 7 and 8. It says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. It's like, is that really what happened? Well, before we go there, let's just take a quick glance at some of the control that we see in these verses. God is in control, and the point we want to make in this is there is peace in knowing God is in control. Now, it is thought, just to give you a setting for this psalm, it is thought that this is one of the psalms that was sung by the families as they made their way to Jerusalem to worship during their three annual feasts. So the people of the nation needed to all travel to Jerusalem for their three annual feasts. And I think this was just a one time a year when they would travel. And as they were traveling along, apparently, as they were traveling along, they would sing these words of encouragement to lift their spirits and strengthen their souls. Now that's probably hard for us to imagine all that, but it is a known fact that this was a very dangerous and hard, tedious journey for them as they made that yearly trek to Jerusalem. So along the way, they would be singing these psalms, and this is one of the psalms that they felt that they would be singing. Now this morning, you and I can't relate to that at all. We don't need to walk every year to Jerusalem. But it's reality that each of us are walking on a spiritual journey to New Jerusalem. It's hard, it's dangerous, it's tedious, it's stressful. There are trials, there are distractions. There are hard times. Verse 1 says, we can lift up our eyes onto the hills. Now, what does this mean? We can lift up our eyes to the hills. I would like to suggest this morning that the hills are where, this is where the danger is. Remember that story in the New Testament where it talked about the man who was walking to Jericho and he fell among thieves. That's kind of the setting where these people would journey. Those thieves were hiding in the hills, and the people needed to pass through these dangerous zones. And I want to liken that to us as we travel our journey to New Jerusalem. We're traveling through dangerous areas. There are hills around us, and we can lift up our eyes to the hills. And Jeremiah helps us understand this a little bit better. There's a verse in Jeremiah that says, truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So we find the question, it's not in our Bible as a question, But I see this in my mind as a question. So I can lift up my eyes unto the hills. The question is, from where does my help come from? Is it from the hills? Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is higher than the hills. We have the concept also in Scripture of the mountains. You know, they're stable, they're secure. And even in Revelation, where there's the picture of men calling on mountains to fall on them, to help them. But this morning, our God is higher than the hills. Our help cometh from the God who made the hills and is in control of whatever may be hiding in those mountains. So maybe this morning you feel like you're facing a mountain. And our eyes can focus on that mountain. But where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And again, we're thinking about there is peace and knowing God is in control. We have something a whole lot bigger than even the biggest thing that we can find around us, which might be the mountain. Notice some more of what we have in these verses. The journey to Jerusalem was day and night, rain or shine. We know our journey to Jerusalem will not give up. We are in it daily. Our journey is constant, and it is until we reach our goal. Remember, our God does not slumber or sleep. He is ever present. He is ever there. But we still struggle with the thought. In verse 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And again, after what happened this past week, how can we say that? How can we say that the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil? Well, I'll just raise a couple questions to help us think through this. Does the Bible promise that if we believe in God, if we trust in God, He will give us safety, health, and wealth in this life? Is that a Bible promise? Another question we can ask is death and suffering God's will for us? Does God will that these things happen? We must remember that sin and suffering are in this world because man chose to live his life apart from God. Man stepped out on his own. Man thought he could handle life without God. And it is the cause and effect of that decision is why we have sin and suffering in the world. We'll say a bit more about this a little later on. But I also want to say this, while death and disease happen, they're not the final verdict. We know that and we find comfort in that. We're not consumed by death and disease. They're not the final verdict. And in all this, we are reminded of God's great love. You know, He doesn't need to provide for our every need. He doesn't need to provide a remedy for our sin. He doesn't need to provide grace for our suffering. He doesn't need to hold us in His arms of comfort. He has no obligation to us whatsoever. He could leave us in our sin and suffering because that was man's choice. He could leave us there. But in all this, we see that God is a God of love. He does provide a way that we can relate to this thing of all evil. And at times like this, it might seem like evil has the upper hand. It can seem when we face a hard time that evil is prevailing. They have an upper hand. But does this mean that evil has control over us? You know, evil does not have power to control us because of the power of Jesus. And I think that's what these verses are saying. Even though we might be affected by hard things, yet we are not consumed by them. We do not need to be consumed by the evil. And I'll give you this thought as well. Rejecting God because of hard times does not change the situation that caused our suffering. It only removes the greatest source of hope, help, comfort, and strength we have. So we all have a choice of how we relate to hard times. And we can say, and so many people have said, well, if this is the way God is, I want nothing to do with God. So what are they left? They're left with themselves. They have nobody to turn to. And there is so often that that is what we're tempted to do. We step away from God and we're left to fumble on our own with it. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Even though pain, suffering, sin, and death are the result of man's choice, God is still in control. And even when God allows these things, this pain, suffering, sin, and death, when God allows these things into the life of one of his children, God is still in control. And we could go to Job and he could tell us all about that. So this morning we find peace in knowing that God is in control. The second point I want to make this morning, when we think of when we don't know why, and when we purpose to live God's plan, we find peace. I want to focus a little bit on the plan. And the point is, God knows the plan for your life. Now, I say that very carefully. And I want to tread very carefully when we talk about God's plan for our life. Yet I don't want this to get too complicated, because there is so much that could be said, and there's also so much that we don't understand about this. But I want to highlight a few general ideas. And the first one is in Psalm 33. I want to read a couple verses that give us the overarching picture of God's plan. And these are things that we come back to when we think of God's plan for our life. Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He bringeth the devices of the people of none effect." And verse 11 is what I want to highlight. The counsel, or that word would mean plan. "The plan of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." So when we talk about God's plan for your life, we start from this foundation that he has made the world, he has made everything in it, he made you, he knows your life, he has a plan for your life. This gives us the big picture. This is the foundation that we build our lives on. Now, how does that play out for us each personally? Well, personally, it's the same. God knows your life. He has a plan for you. And he has a plan for you individually. But yet we go a little further with that question. So what does that all mean? Does God pencil out every exact detail of your life? Did God plan that you would be sitting here this morning? Did God plan for what color of shirt you would wear, what color of dress you would wear? Did God have that all planned out for you from the foundations of the world? You may disagree with me, but I'm going to say no. Now, the next question is, does God know every detail of your life? And does God know that on today you would be here? And exactly what color of shirt you'd be wearing and what color of dress you'd be wearing? Does God know? Does God know every detail of your life? And that answer is yes, absolutely. But did God plan that all out for you from the beginning of time? I would say this morning that we need to remember God has given us a certain amount of control of our own life. God has limited himself, and he has given a little bit of control to you. And I believe this morning that there are at least three people writing your story. And the one is you, and the other is God, and the other is the evil one. You have a limited amount of control over your life. You have a control over your life, and I say that's a limited control, because we know that there's things that we can't do, although we wish we could do them. But there's things that we can do. God, he has the ultimate control of your life. He is the one that could do anything with you that he chooses. Now, he chooses to step back a little bit and give you some space. And then we have the evil one. And we could again look at Job to help us see this picture. He is there. He very much wants to control your life. And he very much wants to get into your life and do things with your life. And again, as we look at Job, we see that God allows that. And how does the evil one come into your life? He comes into your life through the sin, the evil, the hard things that we face. Now, we say that God knows the plans for our life. What does this mean? I believe that God has designed a plan that if we follow, we will experience peace. Even when things are very hard, even when things seem very dark. You know, this plan might not tell every little detail of our life, but it gives you the principles that if you follow, you will end up where you want to end up. And if we follow these principles, you will be able to handle anything God allows into your life. Because God allows the evil one to throw fiery darts into our lives. So you may hear terms like God's perfect will and God's permissive will. And I'm not here to say that those are incorrect terms. But how about a term like God's prescriptive will? And if you're familiar with going to a doctor and he writes out the prescription for you and he hands it to you, you have a choice. Are you going to follow that or not? Are you going to look at that and say, I don't want that? Or are you going to think, you know what? This is for my good. I need to follow this. And I believe that that's a picture of what God does for us. He has given us a prescription. And he makes known to us how he wants us to live our lives. And it's up to us. The best thing for us is to follow his prescription. And this prescription has been written with your best in mind. Now, it might not be easy. It might not be comfortable. And it might be hard. But in it, God wants what is best for us. So I would say when we don't know why, we need God's prescription. We ask God, what is this? How should we find ourselves in this? And God has an answer for us. God knows the plan for your life. The third thing I want to think about this morning, as we think of when we don't know why, when we purpose to live God's plan, we find peace. And I want to think a little bit about purpose. You find true purpose when you seek God's will in all things. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What is purpose? What is true purpose? I believe purpose is really choice. God has given you freedom to choose. You can choose how you will live your life. You can choose how you will respond. You can choose what you will do when things go totally wrong. You can express yourself. God has given you that freedom. God has given you that ability. Now, I must remind you in this that you cannot choose the consequences of those choices. And life will throw many things at you, many things you did not anticipate, many things that you did not sign up for. And in all of these things, the question is, how will you respond? And I think that speaks to purpose. Living with purpose, and not just living with purpose, but living with a purpose to seek God and to follow God. That is true purpose. Many people have purpose, but if it's not God's purpose, is it true purpose? Think about Daniel. He purposed in his heart. He was faced with a dilemma in life. He had a choice to make, and he purposed to do the right thing. And again, we go to Job. He lost everything except his wife. Job's wife, she lost everything also except her husband. And Job had a heart, he had a heart purpose to follow God no matter what. But what about Job's wife? Her purpose seemed to be more focused on herself. She was hurting so much, she wanted to give up. I believe that shows us a difference in purpose. I believe purpose happens when we contemplate the options. We look at the options and we make an intentional choice to follow what we know is the right thing to do. I believe that's purpose. True purpose is when we seek God's will in all things. I want to take our minds back to the thought on peace for the final point this morning. When we think about when you purpose to live God's plan, you find peace. And we started out with the thing of peace, that knowing is God, that God is in control. I would like to end with a thought that peace is knowing you are doing God's will. You know, it's very difficult to find peace when we're faced with the question, when you don't know why. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And I use that verse very carefully, because if you look at the setting for that verse, it is not very peaceful. It's actually the scene of captivity. The children of Israel were in captivity, and God was dealing out judgment. But he said, the Lord saying, "I have thoughts of peace towards you and not evil." So sometimes in what we are thinking of as an evil or a bad situation, God has thoughts of peace. In other words, he can bring us to a place of being at peace. And this morning, peace is knowing you are doing God's will. What is peace? We all long for peace. How can things be peaceful when things go so horribly wrong? Does peace mean we will not experience tears and pain? Does peace mean we will always experience happiness and no sorrow? How do we find peace in the storms of life? Well, I believe the core issue is we seek God's will and not our own. We seek God's way and not the way of the world, but we seek God's will. What does God want for me in this situation? How does God want me to respond? What does God want me to do? And I believe, as we said before, God clearly defines for us how he wants us to live our lives. And it's up to us to find his will and follow his will. God's will is not about your happiness, but about your faithfulness. God's will is not the best earthly experience possible, but the path that leads you to being with him for eternity. I believe that sums up what we're talking about when we're talking about peace is knowing you're in God's will. It's more than just the present moment. It's to find ourselves someday with God and to know that we are doing His will and living His will. I'll give you a couple verses. Isaiah 26, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." And Psalm 37:37 says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." This is all about making it to the end and to be faithful. And so I leave you with this challenge. When we don't know why, when we're struggling with the question of why, when faced with unexpected happenings, when things don't go as the way we think they should go, we need to stop and consider, what is our purpose? Whose plans are we following? And will this lead to peace? Because this morning, when you purpose to live God's plan, you find peace. When we don't know why, we discover there is someone so much greater. And He has a purpose and He has a plan for us. I close with the verse from Revelations that says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." There will be hard times. There will be times when we question why. But Jesus is saying, "I will give thee a crown of life." And let's all be faithful in that so that we can experience that someday.